Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Jeff Bryans, host of the Jeff Bryans Show. Like I said, guys, I'm going to struggle with this intro until I get a jingle. I need somebody with a deep booming voice, ukulele, possibly a recorder. Hit me up. We're going to make something happen. Anyway, I said I was going to possibly come through with another show in the near term, and here I am. I actually pulled down my last show after posting it. I think I had some good ideas that I really wanted to get into, but it lacked a lot of structure. It was very rambling. I mean, they're all rambling. I'm just a dude with a microphone, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. But that was one I did after a full day of work, and I had done a professional podcast, quote-unquote professional, meaning it's for work. I just spent a lot of time in front of a computer screen and a microphone, so my head was a little jumbled. This one I'm doing first thing in the morning, though I did wake up at like 3:30 in the morning, so I'm not so sure this is going to be a lot better. Nonetheless, a few pieces of news have come out since the last podcast to this podcast that I wanted to discuss. I saw some conversations on social media that I also wanted to get into. You know, it's no surprise that as the presidential election looks to be more and more a Biden victory, we're seeing more and more complaining from the far right, I would say, and maybe not far right, like extremists on the right, but just kind of those that have always voted Republican and will always vote Republican no matter what, like blindly vote Republican. Those that are in the middle like me, I think we're actually kind of happy. I don't know if that's the right word. We're as happy with this result as we could be for an election with these choices. I'll maybe articulate that a little more in the show as well. And I also want to get into the forthcoming runoff election in Georgia and how important I think that is for the balance that we now have in government. I think we actually have something that is good. Again, it's relative. I am not a fan of really anything going on in politics or the federal government. I think it needs a complete upheaval and a complete systemic change. I think everybody said that, though, as long as I've been alive. So I don't know that that's going to happen. So with that not happening, with the choices we had, with everything going on, we need to calm the hell down, and I think this actually sets the stage for that. So I'll talk about that. Talk about why I think what Trump is doing is just so damaging. And I got into that a little bit last time, but he's since come out with some more remarks that, you know, if you were on the fence about Trump and his policies and blah, 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 this should really put you over the edge. I mean, it really should. And I'll talk about guys like Ben Shapiro. Another person that listened commented like, hey, I talk about people like Sam Harris, Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, a ton of, you know, podcast hosts, assuming you all listen to them. And it's clear that most people don't have hours on end to listen to podcasts like I do. So I'm going to do a better job explaining who the person is, why what they said is important, and why I disagree with it in the future or agree. I can't just say they said this and move on. I don't think that does anybody any favors. It just makes people confused. So try to do that less. Okay, so I'll get into this starting with, let's see here. Let's start with Trump, because I think that's what everybody's kind of looking at right now. Trump, as expected, is acting like a child who is throwing a tantrum and not wanting to leave, let's say, a birthday party that he really wanted to stay a little longer at. It was decided by all the kids, or at least most of the kids, that it's time for him to leave. It was kind of split. It was closer than we thought. And he just kind of doesn't want to leave. He's you know, let me back up. If it is, in fact, the case that he won the election, I absolutely think he should be the president. But by all accounts right now, it does appear he is going to lose. And it's not like he's losing by 100 votes. Again, we'll wait and see, but it does not look like he's losing by 100 votes or 1,000 votes, but, you know, in the tens of thousands of votes. It's a very tight election. But as far as I know, in any previous election in like the modern era, there has never been any sort of proven voter fraud or miscount, let's say, in the tens of thousands of votes. You know, so it's unlikely that anything he's kicking and screaming about is actually legitimate. And I know people are going to get into like, well, what about this ballot that was postmarked late? And, you know, there was this, I will say the little, like, I don't know if you guys saw this, there was like a, you know, a graph of the votes coming in. Biden was trailing Trump. And then all of a sudden there's a straight line that goes from, you know, Biden losing to Biden jumping in ahead of Trump. I want to know why that happened, but I'm going to wait and see. I think there's probably a reasonable explanation for all of this. And it also looks like he's going to win not by like a large margin overall, but a large enough margin that even if one state was wrong, could be wrong about this, he's still going to win the election. So more to my point, I think everybody should just calm down as far as, you know, claiming voter fraud, claiming that, you know, the election was rigged, and just, you know, take a chill pill and chill pill. What, like a Xanax? I don't think we need to take Xanax right now. Just calm down and let's see what the outcome really is. And this is one area where Joe Biden's saying the right thing. He's saying, hey, look, we're going to count every vote. We're gonna take a hard look at this, and whoever wins. I think he's also saying that because he knows he's going to win. Whereas Trump is claiming quite literally that, you know, had every legal vote been counted, he would have won easily. And again, if this was a podcast where I was making money, I'd actually go grab that sound bit and I'd put it in right here and it'd be really cool. But right now, I'm a dude at 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday. This is not happening. Nonetheless, he said some stuff like that, and I find that very, I don't know the right word. It's despicable. Like it's beyond comprehension if you truly love this country. In order to make a claim like that, A, it needs to be evidence-based. Like you need to say something like that and be able to point to some data. He can't do that. On top of that, you know, for him to follow up with that and basically imply that there is, you know, this entire election is rife with fraud. So this really brings me to something that I think is so damaging. Again, my point, as I said last time, is to bring this country together. That's what I think is most important. And when he's saying stuff like that, there are people that trust him and believe in him. And when he implies that the election's rigged, well, guess what? There's an entire group of people now that believe no matter what the outcome is, Trump said it was rigged, therefore it's rigged, therefore the system is illegitimate, and they should be disenfranchised even further. And it's this pushing each other apart, pushing the parties apart, that I just cannot see any sort of rationale to, you know. And this is where Ben Shapiro, kind of the voice of reason in my mind on the right, you know, he's somebody I often agree with and would find would be really hard pressed to ever debate him and win. He's just so smart, so quick. And even if I disagree with one of his values or one of the one of his points, it would be very difficult for me to prove my point, just because, like I said, very smart, very good. But he sits there and he defends Trump in these in, you know, saying these things as though it's like he's willing to overlook. He like has to contextualize it like, oh, he's just being dramatic. And, you know, he's really just saying we should, in fact, make sure the election is legitimate. Well, that's fine. If Trump said, hey, look, we need to make sure this election's legit. I feel there is the possibility of fraud here, here, and here, and here's why. And whatever the outcome is, it is. You know, that would be fine. That, like, puts people's faith in the system. It does not suggest that this is something that has been stolen from us, which is, again, what's something he's implying. And it keeps people together. It keeps people believing in the system. And I think that is so important. So this just confirmed my bias that, you know, we needed Biden to be the president, because I think this sort of toxicity is so damaging to the system as a whole, regardless of if I believe that, you know, regardless of how much I really dislike Biden's policies, these types of quips in front of the public at large does so much damage to the unification of this country, to the community, to the culture of this country, that I feel strongly we need him out of office. And again, this is somebody that actually wants to see things go as far away from the woke left as possible, but we can't do it using these means. So that's where I stand. That's the best way I can articulate it. And I'm happy to see how many Republicans have come out in favor of suggesting that we need to make sure this is a fair election, but no, Trump's saying things that are absolutely egregious, and we cannot let that stand. And I would appreciate it if guys like Ben Shapiro, who have often been critical of Trump, are more critical of him when he's saying these things. Like, don't try to chop it up as much and be like, well, he's saying some things that are good and some things that are bad. It's like, he's generally saying, that was a word I George W'd on you. He's basically saying, this is a fraudulent election, that the election's been stolen from him, and that's unacceptable, period. That is absolutely unacceptable, and that alone should make him somebody that you should not want to be president. So as I said in the last episode, it looks like we're going to have a split Congress. This is something I like. I definitely don't want something akin to a blue wave, or basically the entire government controlled by Democrats, so the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And as it stands right now, the Senate will be Republican controlled, House Democrat controlled, and obviously the presidency will be a Democrat as well. But it does look like there's a possibility that the Senate could flip to being Democrat controlled, depending on the outcome of the runoff election in Georgia in January. So this is something that I think everybody should pay attention to. This really is kind of the crux to what I think would be a good style, if you will, of government for the next 4 years, a good structure to our political system going forward. And I say that because I don't want the extremists on the left, such as our VP, to have so much of a say that things that really don't make sense and don't really work in the real world and aren't checked, I don't want those things to get passed. I don't want, for instance, here's an example. I don't think fracking, for instance, should get banned. And I know this is something on the horizon for Democrats to go tackle. So for those of you that don't know, I used to work in energy. I have a pretty strong understanding of E&P. I have friends that are completions and drilling engineers. I know the word fracking sounds really, really bad, but our entire world right now, the entire quality of life in this country, in the world, again, in the world, is 100% leveraged to fracking. Again, terrible word. It sounds kind of like a different F word, but the technology that is utilized to complete modern oil and gas wells is absolutely incredible. You know, just on a technological basis, the failure rate, I looked it up, it's 0.003%, talking casing failure rate, and that's actually been going down. And the net gain we get from this is quite incredible. It keeps us energy independent, it keeps our energy bills down, and it allows us to have all these petrol byproducts that are very, very important for our, again, quality of life. Now, a lot of people are going to go, but it's fossil fuels, climate change, you know, what about the water in Flint and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I can address all of that. First of all, there is no such thing as risk-free energy development. I don't care what we go after, whether it's electric vehicles, you know, there's rare earths we have to mine, whether it's nuclear, I'm a big proponent of nuclear, but there's obvious problems with that. Whether it's solar and wind, there are, again, problems with that. You don't have quote unquote a smart grid, meaning when the power is needed, solar and wind often don't work. So you need a combination of all these things. I'm a big proponent of moving the energy infrastructure in a positive direction in this country. I just don't think people understand how important petrol products are, not just from a turning the lights on perspective, but from a, you know, I'm talking into a microphone, petrol products in that. I'm looking at a laptop, all the plastics, petrol products in that. I'm about to go put on a jacket and try to go for a bike ride. That jacket, it's Gore-Tex, petrol products in that. It's insane the amount of leverage we really have to petrol products. And if we ban fracking, guess who it's going to hit the hardest? People at the lowest end of the income scale. So I could go on and on about this. I think we need to change the way wells are fracked and that we need to be cleaner with it. I think, you know, for instance, I don't know how many people know this, but whenever you complete a well, you get three things out of it. You get oil, you get natural gas, and you get water. We need to capture that natural gas. We need to utilize that natural gas. A lot of times that is either vented to atmosphere or flared. Flared meaning it's burned. That drives me nuts. That's like taking a fuel that we could power my house, my camper. Hell, people can run vehicles off that, and just burning it off into the atmosphere, you know, contributing to climate change and everything like that. So that's just one example of a Biden Harris policy that is absolutely abysmal. But there's a middle ground here. Again, smarter, more environmentally friendly fracking, stronger or stricter rules over fracking. I'm all for all of that. Now, that'll bring into the equation a whole other thing, which is, you know, can the energy companies sustain those costs? And the answer is very complicated, and it's complicated because of the way these energy companies have structured themselves, and it's also complicated because of the way Wall Street's valued them. And then that's all rolled into this, let's say, energy pie that also has an ingredient from OPEC. where OPEC's kind of like the cartel of energy, and whatever they do wildly impacts what happens in this country with our energy companies. So again, very complicated. It could put some companies out of business. It could kind of create some turmoil. But again, smarter fracking makes a lot of sense from an environmental perspective. It's something I think we could compromise on, and it's something that I think would do well to power us into the future as we transition to cleaner, more sustainable types of energy, which are on the horizon but are not plausible in the near term. I could do an entire hour on energy, as you guys can probably tell, but I'll end it there. So this is why, again, I think having this split Congress is really important. The push and pull is really what we want in government. We don't want just things going one way in a landslide. A lot of, especially from my point of view, again, as a moderate, like I see both sides a lot of the time, and I often think there is a solution in the middle that makes the most sense. Because there is some truth oftentimes to what both side is saying. Now, that's not always the case, but that is often the case. So that's my thoughts on the election so far. And again, we should pay a lot of attention to that January 5th, I think it is, runoff election in Georgia. So let's move on to what I'm seeing on social media from those on the right. It's just really funny to see, okay, so the presidency is switching from a Republican candidate to a Democrat, and as a result, we're seeing posts like, you know, I'm moving to Canada. I've actually seen that, which is actually kind of ironic and funny. I don't think that's a sentiment on the right, but there is a lot of like, we're going to live in a socialist country, and they usually go right into, look what we're having to do because of COVID, and Joe Biden's going to completely, you know, tear this country apart and evoke socialist control. Well, first of all, I don't think people understand the difference between socialism and fascism. I know they're similar in a lot of ways, but no, this is not going to become Soviet Russia. It's not going to become Cuba. It's not going to become some failed state as a result of Joe Biden being the president. I think he's going to say a lot of dumb things. He's probably going to waste a fair amount of money, but overall, it's not going to be, we're not going to live in some socialist countries. Healthcare may or may not get better. I don't think it'll get better. It'll get worse. Generally, I'm not an advocate for socialism. I'm an advocate for certain social programs that are really smart. The same way I'm not an advocate for, dumb safety rules, but I'm an advocate of reasonable speed limits. You know, there's an example of like, I think you need some policy. I just don't think you need all the policy. Nonetheless, everybody on the right that is freaking out thinking this is going to be the end of times, calm down. You already had to weather this for 8 years under Obama. Everything was just fine. I know I got into this a little bit before, but it was just fine. And a lot of people are suggesting that the COVID and the ramp they're seeing in the number of cases, which again is quite drastic right now. We hit 122,000 on Thursday. I didn't look at the numbers today, but I have no reason to expect them to drop anytime soon. The weather, again, is getting colder. We're learning a lot more about how the virus spreads via these kind of super spreader events. So it seems to be like, you know, most of the time people maybe infect one or two people, but then there's these certain types of people that infect like 15 or 20 people. Obviously, if you're in a restaurant with somebody like that, like the whole restaurant could literally be infected if it's a small restaurant. And we've seen instances of this. So with everybody going inside with no rules and regulations in place, as I said on the last episode, any rules and regulations we put forward are going to be akin to, you know, turning left after you've kind of blown the stop sign or the intersection. You know, it's a dumb example. It's like what I said last time is if you want to turn left, you need to plan that turn a mile ahead of time. And with COVID mitigation measures, you can't implement the measures after things have gotten bad. You've got to implement them ahead of time. Otherwise, it's too late because there's such a lag as to how the infections work, how the hospitalizations work, and how the deaths work. And anybody that's going to sit here and go, hey, this is an American made up problem, I point you to Sweden. I'm actually a fan of what Sweden has done to this point in a lot of ways anyway. It's debatable. But nonetheless, they basically did nothing. They were just aiming for herd immunity. Well, guess what? They had to go and put some lockdown measures in place. So I don't understand how you could think there's this like world order, deep state conspiracy theory that's making COVID, you know, this hoax of COVID into this play for global domination and control. I don't buy it. I don't know. If you believe that, this podcast isn't for you. Like, check out Alex Jones. I think that guy is for you. So as far as this being a hoax, you know, one way you can test, is this a hoax? Go talk to a doctor. You know, they're out there. Go talk to your local doctor, call them on the phone. I've got friends that are doctors. Not one of them has said this is a hoax. I've had some say like, oh, we're actually pretty quiet. And they've come back later and been like, whoa, okay, we were quiet during the first wave, and now I'm absolutely getting crushed by this thing. So it's very situational. It's very geographical in terms of how and when it hits. But when it does, it's a big deal. People do die. And no matter what we do, if we lock down, if we don't lock down, if the virus gets bad enough, it's not going to matter. Because if people are actually dying at the rate in which hospitals are overwhelmed, the death rate will climb to a point that people will get scared and behavior will change. So if you're worried about your business getting hit because of the lockdown and you're like, well, if they don't lock down, everything will be fine, I call bullshit on that for one reason. It's going to get bad either way, more than likely at that point. Meaning people are going to change their behavior. They're not going to do what you want them to do. Like, you might think they will, and for a little bit they probably will, but I promise you, when we end up in a situation like Italy was in the first wave, where, you know, the death rate goes from a very low, almost flu-like death rate in the younger population to something north of 1%, which doesn't sound bad, but it really is, you better believe people are going to be staying inside and locking themselves down. People modify their own behavior pretty quickly. So the net outcome is the same. I would just like to think if we put smart policy in place, we can avoid that situation. We can avoid having the loss of life and the economic destruction. That's my goal. So I've seen some people suggest that wearing masks is socialism. Like, first of all, again, you don't know what socialism is. Second of all, I've seen like a lot of these more, I'd say, JV rules that have been implemented, you know, such as like limiting indoor gatherings and, you know, limiting the amount of people that can go to a gym, shutting, you know, bars down, stuff like that, as being like pretty draconian. And I'm like, first of all, you guys should take a look at what Wuhan did to control this thing. Literally welding buildings shut so people cannot leave. That is some form, that is what a socialist regime will do, or a fascist regime will do. That is what extremists in government will do. We don't have anything close to that. You know, we don't have anything more going on here than, say, you know, certain safety regulations we put in or have put forth in on the highway. You know, again, you can't drive willy-nilly down the road and just do whatever the hell you want. You can't go do donuts in your local park with your truck, or in open space with your truck, or whatever. I mean, I guess there's some BLM land you can do that on. But my point is there are rules for a reason. This, just because we live in a free country does not mean that you get to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. You know, my philosophy is, I think you should be able to live your own life and let, you know, live and let live. It's kind of my motto. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that if my living and letting live, it's the latter part of that statement that really matters. If I'm living and infringing on your freedom, if my decisions kill your grandma in some way, shape, or form, you know, if because I was, you know, too, if I was so entitled that I was like, I don't need to wear a mask, I'm not really at risk, and I already get infected, and then I go breathe all over your grandma at the grocery store, it's not really fair. It just doesn't make common sense. It's not sensible. It's like, just wear the damn mask. Like, it doesn't totally stop this thing, but it does seem to make an impact. So why not just shut up and do it? Like, I in a lot of ways, I lean more toward the right in terms of my life philosophies. And it's like, one thing I like about the right is it's just kind of like, shut up and get to work, or like, shut up, you know, have a little grit and like, don't be a wuss. Yeah, don't be a wuss. Put a damn mask on. Not a big deal. Life will go on. You know, if like the gyms kind of get shut down, DM me or whatever. Is it DM, PM, whatever. Hit me up with a message. I'll give you a workout you don't need to go to a gym for, and we'll crush you. I don't buy this whole idea that, you know, this is a way to evoke control. And once the control is put in place, we'll never get our freedoms back. It's like, no, you'll get your freedoms back. The same way when the pandemic of 1918 came through, the whole, you know, wearing a mask went away. And I think I said this on the last episode, the one thing that didn't come back was the spittoon. Maybe we'll have something like that. You know, people said early on in this, like, maybe handshakes will go away. I'm like, boy, I kind of hope not. And turns out this doesn't actually get transmitted through that really at all. I don't mind a handshake. People are total germaphobes. It's like, what are we going to change that to? An elbow bump? That's so weird and lame. Like, let's go with the handshake. There's actually something I think there's something important about showing that you have nothing in your hand. Or it just is like I know it's old school, but, and like, I think that's why we do it, is to show you don't have a weapon in your hand and you're willing to shake that person's hand to show that I'm not going to stab you with my cool knife or something. I could have totally made that up. I need like a fact checker on the show for sure. Again, this is making lots of money. We can totally do that because it's totally going to make a lot of money. Okay, so if you're one of those people that is fearing the future, I really just wanted to try to calm you down, and I'm just sounding like a rambling idiot or asshole rather. And the point is, you've survived this before. As far as Biden is concerned, we've already done the lockdowns, and we didn't just keep people locked down. Governments don't want to just lock down for the hell of it. Again, it's not something they enjoy doing. You know, they don't want to like just play with your psychological health by locking you in your house. It's not good for government. It's not good for the economy. Everybody knows that. So if it were to happen, I don't think it'll happen for very long. As the Washington Post wrote a few weeks ago, the appetite for lockdown is very low, meaning people across the country on both sides of the political aisle are not looking forward to any further lockdowns. And I agree. So my big point here is, whether we lock down or not, the outcome's probably going to be the same. And right now it's not looking good. So just get ready, you know, everybody. Like, right now is not a time to get sick, especially with the number of cases. I also want to point one thing out in the data. I noticed the week over week increase in coronavirus cases countrywide was about 7.4%. Increase in testing nationwide was 6.4%. So that's a disproportional, number of tests to number of new cases. But it's not like we're testing the exact same number of people and we're seeing a lot more positive cases. It seems like there's somewhat of a, it's somewhat equal. And, you know, take that for what it's worth. You know, it doesn't imply that this is ramping up in a way that maybe the new cases data alone might suggest. I still think it's very much going quote unquote nuclear right now. And it'll be really interesting to see how the next couple weeks or months turns out, because again, we're not like at the end of winter here or the end of the cold season. We're just going into it. You know, in Jackson, this is like the first, or rather the last day, it's going to be over 50 degrees. And then from this point, probably until March, we're not going to see a temperature over 40, you know, like period, probably under or over 35 even. It's not going to be warm. Everybody's going to be inside and people are going to start going insane. I mean, I think when the lockdowns occurred in March, people were like, okay, like, you know, it's getting warmer. I can do this. Like I can go outside still, but like, it's going to be real hard, you know, around ski towns. Sure. You can go ski, you can do fun stuff, but like, imagine being in the Midwest or Green Bay or somewhere. It's going to be friggin' rough. And I know it's going to take its toll on the economy yet again. And I think there are measures that are going to be implemented to mitigate that. I think another relief package is going to come to fruition by the end of the year, although I've said that before. And I think the lending environment will stay favorable, which will help things come back faster. I don't know how much the Fed really has left in its arsenal, but I think they've got a couple more tricks up its sleeve to keep things, at least to ease the burden, the same way a helmet eases your noggin when you get in a crash. Like, it takes that hard blow and takes it into a slightly softer blow, and hopefully you don't die. Same thing with what the Fed's basically doing. They're easing the burden of this and spreading it out over a longer period of time so the economy doesn't quote unquote die. I think that's all I wanted to get to today. Here we are, 27 minutes. Again, I really appreciate everybody listening. If you have gotten to this point in the show, I'm bringing back the beer rule. You get to text me or call me, Venmo me. I'll Venmo you, rather. Hit me up. I'll Venmo you. We're going to go have a beer. It's on me. I appreciate everybody listening to this. I appreciate feedback. And like I said, if you like this, if you think my wiring is such that, you know, if I keep expanding on this, getting better at this, bringing more content in, eventually interviewing people, that sort of thing, if that's what you want me to do, tell a friend, have them subscribe, get my numbers up, and I'll definitely be putting more time into this in the future. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Saturday. Cheers.